I started last week with that intro, and I wanted to do it again this week. That question that was in that video said, when it's game time, where are you? And last week we talked about when it comes to sports, in any sport really, you're either a player on the field, in the game, making things happen, or you're watching from the sideline, or maybe you're up in the stands eating your popcorn and drinking your favorite beverages and just watching, right? The same can be said about ministry. When it's game time, whether it's a Sunday morning or it's a Wednesday night or it's a special event, when it's game time, where are you? Are you on the field? Are you a player making things happen, scoring points for God? Or are you just on the sideline or maybe in the stands at home just watching everybody else do the work? And so today I want to bring another message about serving. Jesus said, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. So if you want to be great in the eyes of God, you need to have a place to serve. He goes on to say, I did not come to be served, but to serve and give my life as a ransom for many. And I said this last week, Jesus served all the way to the cross, right? And you've heard me say this before, we're not asking you to be crucified. We're just asking you to get in the game, find a place of service that fits your shape, right? Your passions, your abilities, your personalities, your experiences. Find some place where you can serve and give back to God and others in His kingdom, and especially in our local church family. Last week, my title was, You Got Game? Kind of a question, You Got Game? And I talked about the profile of a servant. Real servants make themselves available. Real servants do their best. Real servants are faithful. And real servants understand customer service. So if you missed last week's message, go back and listen to that. That's kind of the culture here at Generations Church. Today, I want to share another message, and it's called Taking Your Game to the Next Level. If you've ever played sports, you know that once you're a player, if you want to get better year in and year out, it's what we refer to as I'm going to take my game to the next level, which means you're going to probably have to do some things that you haven't done before if you want to get better, right? Now, for years, the church has had a reputation for doing good things for God and for people and you know, their communities, but the church has also had a reputation for just doing things good and not great, with excellence. And so today I want to talk about that. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. Lord, help us to have ears to hear what you say and a heart that's receptive to put into action what we hear you speak to us today. I pray this for every person in this room with us today and those watching online. I pray that they would find a place to serve and to give back, and you would bless them for it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to Daniel chapter 6, and then 1 Kings chapter 10. We're talking about taking your game to the next level. In football, one of the names that comes to mind for me is Tom Brady. You know, Tom Brady took his game to the HNL, the whole nother level. And now Patrick Mahomes looks like he's the guy for the next 5 to 10 years that's going to take his game to the next level. We're talking multiple Super Bowl titles. We're talking multiple MVP awards. And so if that's a value in sports, I think it should be one of the values in ministry, on God's team, giving God our very best. I mentioned last week that sometimes I hear this term, well, that's good enough. And I did a little research this week, and I can't find that thinking, that attitude, that terminology anywhere in Scripture. In fact, just the opposite. In 1 Corinthians 13, Paul talks about the excellence of love. In 2 Corinthians 8, he talks about excelling in your giving. And in Philippians 4, he talks about thinking about things that are excellent. He said, if there's anything excellent and worthy of praise, dwell on these things. And so there's nothing about those scriptures that give the impression that good enough is good enough for God. Amen? So let's look at Daniel chapter 6. Daniel 6, verse 3. It says, Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps because an excellent spirit, say that with me, excellent spirit. Say it again, excellent spirit was in him. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole team. There was something about Daniel. He had a spirit of excellence. And I think it started with how he looked at things, the way he thought. Maybe he had a mindset that was based on excellence. If I'm going to live for God, serve God, I want to give him my very, very best. And it's not that he was trying to compete and compare with everybody else so he'd get the better position. It was just part of his nature. And because of that, other people saw that and promoted him. You know, when I see people doing things with excellence, I want them on my team, right? And if I know they can do excellence in some basic things, let's promote them and let them help us do excellence in some other things. It says that Daniel was preferred above all the others because he had a spirit of excellence. In fact, the root word of excellence is the word excel. To exceed, to surpass, to do more than what's expected or do better than what's usually considered good. Last week I talked about the difference between excellence and perfection. And I'm not talking about perfection. We don't want perfection. We can't give perfection because we're not perfect. But excellence is giving your best with what you have to work with. And that's different for different people. Last week I made the comparison between Gateway, a mega church with 30,000 members, and then Generations Church with, you know, a little bit fewer. They can just do things at a higher level because, you know, to whom much is given, much is expected or required. But here at our church, with the resources we have and the people we have to work with, my heart and Tammy's heart and our staff's heart is to always try to give excellence. I mean, if you've come to any of the big events, I think you would agree, this church does things pretty good for our size church. And it's because we have this spirit of excellence about us. One of the questions I had written down in my notes is, can you think of a company or a product that consistently delivers excellence to their customers? Now, there are certain restaurants I like to go to because the food is great and the service is great. But I'm also thinking about Amazon. The idea of Amazon just blows my mind, how they can serve millions of people every day and still get your package to your doorstep the next day. That just blows me away. And because I think they deliver an excellent service, people use them all the time, repeat business. That's usually what happens when you have a business that has a spirit of excellence. Because what I've noticed is people never get offended when they receive something that's excellent. I've never gotten mad at somebody that gave me excellent service. In fact, I tip them better. Now let's go to the second passage. 1 Kings chapter 10. This is about King Solomon. Starting in verse 1, when the queen of Sheba heard about the fame of Solomon and his relation to the name of the Lord, she came to test him with hard questions. Arriving at Jerusalem with a very great caravan, with camels, carrying spices, large quantities of gold, and precious stones, she came to Solomon and talked with him about all that she had on her mind. And Solomon answered all her questions. Nothing was too hard for the king to explain to her. When the queen of Sheba saw all the wisdom of Solomon and the place he had built, I'm thinking it must have been pretty big, pretty good, pretty excellent, right? The food on his table, the seating of his officials, the attending servants in their robes, his cupbearers, and the burnt offerings he made at the temple of the Lord, she was overwhelmed. I get this picture that she walks into his palace and just is taken back by how excellent everything has been done. She said to the king, "The report I heard in my own country about your achievements and your wisdom is true, but I did not believe these things until I came and saw with my own eyes." In other words, I heard it was great, but it's better than great. "Indeed, not even half was told me. In wisdom and wealth, you have far exceeded," there's that root word, "the report I heard." And then watch the result of his excellence in play. "How happy your men must be. How happy your officials who continually stand before you and hear your wisdom. Praise be to the Lord your God, who has delighted in you and placed you on the throne of Israel. Because of the Lord's eternal love for Israel, he has made you king to maintain justice and righteousness." And then here's how she responded to him who did things excellent. "And she gave the king 120 talents of gold, large quantities of spices and precious stones. Never again were so many spices brought in as those the Queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon." When the queen came to visit the king, she was impressed. She was, it says in verse 5, she was overwhelmed with what she saw physically and what she experienced spiritually. The New Living Translation says it took her breath away. Now think about that as far as a ministry or church is concerned. Wouldn't it be wonderful when people came to visit our church that they were just overwhelmed with the way things looked, the people and how they treated me, but also the spiritual blessing that they can get when they come, right? We call it the wow factor. When we're representing God and people come into God's house to experience worship and praise and serving and all that, don't you want them leaving G-Church? Don't you want them leaving your church saying, "Wow, that was incredible"? Verse 7 says, "What she witnessed with her own eyes far exceeded what she had heard." Then she talked about how happy people were to be associated. People like to associate with things that are done well, with excellence. And then she goes on to say, "Now I know why God put you in charge, because he wanted the very best, and you're the guy that delivered on it." And then she blessed him with a very generous gift. And I believe that God wants that to be true for his church as well, right? So this morning I'm going to share 6 thoughts of how we can up our game. Last week I talked, the question was, do you have game? This week I want to talk about how we can up our game. And if you're taking notes, number 1, do your job better than expected. We're talking about serving with a spirit of excellence. And these points I'm going to make are just not in ministry, but they should certainly be involved in ministry, correct? But these are things you can put in play at work or in your home or anything you put your mind to or your hands to. These are 6 ways that you can up your game by having a spirit of excellence. So do your job better than expected. Sometimes I'll hear people say, "You know, I've been doing my job and I didn't get a promotion." And I say, "Why do you find that odd?" "Well, you would think if I do a good job, I would get a pay raise, get a promotion." I said, "No, you get to keep your job. You get to keep your job if you do a good job. But if you do a great job, if you go far and above what's expected, then yeah, you should be a candidate for a promotion or a pay raise." What things are you doing right now in your job or in your ministry, in your home, or concerning your health maybe, that would be an added value to what's expected? Maybe you are that person. I think Richard shared with us on First Wednesday that he was called into his boss's office and he was given a pay raise and a promotion. And I just have a feeling it had something to do with Richard was doing something over and above that his boss noticed that caused him to get that. You know, sometimes I'll talk with people that are just kind of doing the least they can just to get a paycheck. That's not what we're talking about today. We're talking about how can I go over and above? How can I do more than what's expected of me? Because I have a spirit of excellence, and when they look at my work, I want them to see that. So starting today, can I challenge you to up your game by looking for ways to do your job better than expected? Not only will you be a blessing to others, but it will be a blessing to you, and I think you'll be rewarded for it, if not by your boss at work, certainly by the Lord that's watching you do that. So that's number one, do your job better than expected. Here's number two, give attention to the small details. In the Song of Solomon, there's a verse that says, it's the little foxes that ruin the vineyards. It's the little things that sometimes get in the way. In some sports, like golf or track when you're running a race, or in horse races, sometimes an inch can be the difference between hundreds of thousands of dollars. I think about the Rolls Royce. Anybody drive a Rolls Royce? Yeah, I was going to check your giving records, but anyway. The Rolls Royce is a great example of attention to detail. I just wrote down a few facts about the Rolls Royce and how they make it. It takes 6 months to build one car. Toyota, one car is built in 13 minutes, I believe. 13 hours versus 6 months. The Rolls Royce is hand-built by over 4,500 people. It receives 10 coats of hand-sprayed paint. Catch this. And the odometer goes to record miles in the millions. Your odometer doesn't have that. And I believe it's because they built it to exceed all other automobiles. Amen? So what small details in your life or in your ministry deserve some attention? How about showing up on time? Amen. Huh? You know, here at Generations Church, when new people come onto our team, one of the things we look for is, are they faithful to show up? And do they show up on time? Because if that's not the case, do not promote them. And have a word with them and challenge them. Hey, what would happen if you were 5 or 10 minutes late to work consistently? Now, maybe you work for a job that doesn't matter. But most employers, if they're going to pay you for your time, they want you to be on time. The same is true for ministry, is you need to be on time. And you need to come prepared and prayed up. What about your house or your office, your job, your church, right? Is it clean? Is your house clean? What's the outside of your house look like? Now, garages are special places. If you have a real clean, organized garage, you're exceptional. But at least the front should be nice for your neighbors. That's what they have to look at. And the inside should be nice. It should look nice. It should smell nice. Who in here, when you walk into your home, it's got a nice smell? Yeah. When it smells nice, there's peace and joy in the atmosphere. But when things look messy, it's not a great witness. In our life group ministry, I see John sitting there, our life group director. I've asked John, when people want to start a life group and they want to do it in their home, you need to go inspect their home. Because if it's messy and it's got animal hair everywhere, we don't want people to meet in that home. And so I have to be careful how I say this. They meet at church. I'm not saying that every life group that meets at church has a messy home. Don't connect those two points. But I think it's important when you're representing God, representing His church, that things look good, things are neat and orderly. It's the small things that sometimes can make a big difference. That's number two. Number three, finish what you start. Finish what you start. You know, in the area of my life where I'm challenged with this is I'm not a big reader of books. I've read hundreds of books, introduction and first chapters only. But I haven't finished hundreds of books. So I understand this, right? But when it comes to serving or your workplace, you've been given an assignment, one of the things you need to really be careful about is we need to finish what we start. In fact, the word mediocre literally means halfway up the mountain. We go halfway up the mountain, and then we meet some kind of opposition that stops us from finishing the journey. And so, in your life, what are some projects that haven't been finished yet? Because you met opposition and you just stopped. Aren't you glad Jesus finished his work? Aren't you glad Jesus finished what he started? He didn't just go halfway up that mountain. He went all the way to the top and died on a cross for you and me. And so, can I challenge you to up your game when it comes to finishing what you start? If you get into a Bible study, if you get in, take a class, finish it. Don't go to the first few and quit. Finish it. We used to teach our kids when they were growing up, you can play sports, but whatever you play, you're going to finish. If you start a sport, you're going to finish it. So after the first game, if you don't like it, guess what? You're going to have to finish the other six, seven, or eight games. You're going to finish it till the season's over. Now, you don't have to play it again, but if you start it, you're going to finish it, okay? And that's true for ministry. Here's number four, put the needs of others above your own. Aren't you glad Jesus put your needs above his own? In fact, that's what Christianity is all about. That's one of the big differences between Christianity and the world. The worldview is me first. Me, myself, and I, or mine. I'm number one. I knew someone for years, they'd wear this chain around their neck that says, I'm number one. But in Christianity, that's not the case. In Christianity, Jesus alludes to the fact that we should be last. God first, others second, me third or last. In fact, there's a ministry called I'm Third that talks about preferring others. Now, when it comes to student ministries, I want you to hear me on this. When it comes to student ministries, who in here is parents? You have kids, your parents currently? Raise your hand. I think every parent would say, I want what's best for my kid. Right? I want what's best for my kid. And so here at Generations Church, with our student ministries, we want what's best for your children. And sometimes, if we're not careful, we'll put that aside and we'll do what's easiest for us to teach your kids. We'll do what's more convenient. So like when people sign up to work in children's ministry, they might say, okay, I'll do one service a month. And I'm thinking, well, that's not what's best for the kids. What's best for the kids? Regularity, consistency. Think about school. Did your kids learn much when there was a substitute teacher? No. And so when it comes to student ministries, starting in the nursery all the way up through high school, think about, I want to give them my best. It may not be convenient for me, but I think that should be more than once a month. We have two services. You could serve every week and still make it to the other service and you wouldn't miss a beat spiritually. But can you imagine how much better our children are going to learn and be discipled if they see the same leader week in and week out ministering to them, or if not every week, every other week, versus just one time a month. And so leaders, if you're involved in our student ministries and you're just serving one service a month, I want to challenge you to up your game and say, hey, to the director, hey, I'm only working one service a month, but I can up my game. I can work more than one service a month. I'm not asking you to serve every week, both services every month. I don't want that you wouldn't get fed spiritually in the adult service. But I think our kids deserve our very best, and that's going to require us to put their needs above our own. Here's number five, push past your best to be even better. Have you ever said, I gave it my best? That's good. But could your best even be better? It's what I call the 1% rule, plus 1%. Right? Give your best and then plus 1%. Can you find a way to make your best 1% better next week or next month? It's 1%. 1%. It's just a little bit of improvement. Now imagine if you gave 1% better every week, by next year you're 52% better. Who likes the sound of that? Right? Who wants a 52% pay raise? Plus 1% really means constant improvement. Always looking for ways to up your game and make it better. When I was at Shoreline, I was there for 10 years as the director of overall student ministries, and I had a team, full-time staff, nursery, preschool, elementary, youth. But this was one of the principles that we lived by week in and week out. When we had our team meeting on Tuesdays, they would all have to turn in what we call a one-page report of their area. And one of the sections on that little report was, how are you going to be 1% better next week? And I had them list three things. What are three things you could do better for next week? Now, that required them to think. Well, you know, I could do, you know, and so they had to submit it on a report. And then I had something to hold them accountable to. But guess what? Every week, we had a culture. We had positioned ourselves every week better and better and better and better and better and better. And here's what I know about that. The water doesn't get stagnant. You don't get burned out. You don't get bored. You're always looking for ways to make things better. If you'll focus on upping your game, ministry can be a lot of fun. It can be a lot of exciting, especially when people come around and go, man, I like that when you get the little praise and pat on the back because people see you giving things with excellence. And it's not just the status quo. We've been doing this. We've been doing it the same way all year. Nothing's ever gotten better or increased or changed. So think about that as it applies maybe in your ministry here at church, but also maybe in your job. How can you always focus on 1% better? Push past your best to be even better. And then the last one, commit to pay the price. All of these things I've mentioned is going to require you to probably give a little bit more time, a little bit more effort. It's going to cost something. Remember the Rolls Royce? It ain't cheap. It came at a price to have that excellent automobile that can be driven into the millions of miles. Didn't cost the same as a Toyota. So, are you willing to give the extra time, extra thought, extra study, extra effort, extra prayer to make what you do excellent? Tammy and I are in the process of building our home finally, and we've ordered all of our lumber from McCoy's, which is a Christian company. And McCoy's has this attitude about serving people with excellence. Now, McCoy's wasn't the cheapest lumber company, but where they differ in price, and it's not much higher, it's a little bit higher, they make up for in customer service, which is why they're more profitable on a percentage basis than Home Depot and Lowe's. And people don't mind paying a little bit more extra to get the customer service. An example, this last week, my son Jake wanted to add on to his deck and add some stairs, but he travels a lot, so he said, Dad, can you get your framers to come over and knock that out for me? Sure, I'll take care of it. And I called McCoy's. I said, now, when you deliver the lumber for my son's job, do not take it across the street to my house. This is right across the street. I gave him the address and everything. Well, guess what? They delivered it over there. And I'm thinking, that's not McCoy's quality. So I called the sales guy that's been helping me. I said, hey, it got delivered to the wrong place. And I got framers showing up in the morning. It needs to be across the street. Here's what he said. Mr. Bryden, that's my fault. He didn't play the blame game. He said, I will be there at 4:00 in the morning and I will move it myself. And by the time your framers show up, there won't be a hitch in your plans. Now I was feeling guilty. You don't have to show up at 4, but show up at 7. He didn't even have to think about it. It was just all about, you know what? We dropped the ball. We're going to make it right. And I'll use them again and again and again. Even, you know, we're all going to make mistakes. But I like the way he owned it. And then he was willing to, what, pay the price of getting up much earlier than he normally does to make it right for the customer. Think of ways that we can do that here at our church to the people we minister to. Number one, for God. God's always watching us. But also for the people that come. Amen? Amen. So, as I close, I want to ask you the question I ask every week. And what is God speaking to you about what you've heard today? First, are you in the game? And then secondly, if you're in the game, would you think about ways to up your game so we can always get better and better and better? The Lord is blessed, people are blessed, and I believe you will too. Amen. When you came in today, you should have been, did y'all receive a game card? Were these passed out? They weren't passed out. Okay, so we dropped the ball on that. So this week I told the team, give everybody a card when they come in. And so look, Julie gets up, she's gonna go get the cards, and the ushers are gonna join her, and they're gonna pass out. See how the customer service works around here? Look at them going, man. They're going, whoa, yeah. Yeah. Now, last week we handed them to everybody, and I tried to give real clear instructions. If you're already a member serving in our church, you don't need to turn in a card. You're already in the game. These are for people who are members of our church who aren't in the game. And if you remember when you went through 101, we made commitments to pastor you well and to take care of you well and to serve you well. Your commitment in return, one of the commitments was, I'm going to serve at my church. Now, last week, I gave some numbers that seemed pretty good, and I was wrong. Last week, I said 70% of our members are serving and 30 aren't. It's actually 55%. 55% are serving, and 45, almost half of our church are eating popcorn and drinking sodas in the stands, watching people do the work. Now, G Church, that's not our culture here. Our culture is that every member gets in the game and does something to carry the ball down the field and score points for God. So here's what I'm asking you to do. Last week we had 30 cards turned in. Give yourself a hand clap. 30 cards. I think that brought up the percentage to maybe 60%. So if you're here and you heard this message last week and you didn't turn in a card, you slide it out, I'm going to challenge you again. I want you to fill out. At some point, I'm going to be calling you. After 3 weeks, if you didn't turn in a card, you're going to get a call from the pastor asking you, why didn't you fill out a card? And unless you're on a hospital bed, you won't have a good reason. So I would say, make the pastor happy. Make God happy. Turn in a card. Check your interest levels, different interests, and we will have somebody call you. I noticed some new faces. Ronnie, I saw you at the Welcome Center today. There's new people coming on the team. We love it. Everybody's happy, 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 especially the ones that are doing most of the work. So if you're a member and you're not in the game, fill out a card, turn it in, and we will be calling you this week, and we're going to get you on the team, and we're going to be better because you did that. Amen? So let me pray, and then we'll end with worship. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for challenging us. Jesus, you set the example. You served until your death. And you told those who follow you, they should do the same. They should come to serve, not to be served. And so, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would work on all of our hearts. Some need to get in the game. The rest of us, we need to find ways to up our game so that we always give you the best because you're worthy of it. And so help us in that way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hey, I love you guys. Thanks for being part of our church family. Thank you for getting in the game and making a difference. It's going to just get better. And who doesn't want that? Let's all stand and worship. And I'll see you next week with one more Get in the Game message. And I'll see you Sunday.